My name is Debbie. I have intentionally made an effort to stop challenging my husband's authority, to be more respectful, and it's made a tremendous difference in our marriage. He didn't know what to make of the change in me at first and thought it wasn't going to last. But now, after 6 months, it's more seated and comfortable, so it's been good.
You know, today we're talking about love and respect in marriage. Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center. And you know, you hear a spot like that Debbie left on our comment line, and some of you are thinking, oh, wait a minute. Shouldn't she be able to challenge his authority? Shouldn't she be able to challenge things going on in their marriage? Absolutely. I believe that. But you know, sometimes we can pick fights with each other. We can challenge each other in ways that are not productive for our marriage or our relationship. We need to honor each other and love each other. And I say to men, our job is to get behind the eyes of our spouse and try to see life like they do and respect the fact that they can challenge us from time to time. And we need to do all of this with great respect and love. And that's really what we want to focus on today and ask the question, as a wife, when do you feel most loved? And as a husband, when do you feel most respected in your marriage? And I'd love to have you share with us on our storyline or our comment line today. And the reason I say that is because the calls are already set for today. We're not taking any live calls on the radio program because it's from our archives today, but we'd love to have you join in and share your comments with us on our storyline. When do you feel most loved? When do you feel most respected? 888-888-1717 is the number. And again, today we're talking about these two powerful biblically based commands of Scripture. You know, the Bible tells us that husbands, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And the Scripture also teaches wives that you are to honor and reverence your husband. And so when this balance is a part of our relationship, it's life-changing. All right, love to have you join in, as I mentioned, with your story on our comment line at 888-888-1717. This is Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy, and today, love and respect. And boy, is that something that requires intentional living.
The way that I feel loved by my husband is when he helps me in the home.
I feel most loved by my husband when he does something for me that I know he doesn't like to do. He works and so do I, and we have three beautiful kids. And so when I come home from work and I see that the dishes are done or that he's swept or mopped, I know that he did it out of love for me. And so that makes me feel really loved.
When he sees me struggling with my day-to-day chores and he pitches in and helps without me needing to ask.
It's just simple things like if I have a heavy box that needs carrying out to the car, or helping me wash the dishes or helping me fold clothes. I guess just acts of service. We've been married almost 33 years and have people still tell us that we act like we're newlyweds.
All right, practical stuff. You know, we did this topic, I don't know, a number of months ago or whatever, and we had some people who objected to saying, you mean you feel most loved when your husband does something for you, like taking a box out to the garage? Certainly, it's got to be more meaningful than that. But I'll tell you what, you know, life, it gets into the trenches, doesn't it? It's the little things that make a difference. It's the words, it's the behaviors. And when is it you feel most love and respect? Is it some romantic moment or is it in the practicality of the day? 888-888-1717. Let's go. Sam's on the line. Hi there.
Hi.
How you doing today?
I'm doing very well.
Fantastic. Hey, all right, Sam, tell me, when do you feel most respected?
I feel more respected by my wife when she reinforces the things that I say to my kids. For instance, I tell my kids to do, you know, go clean up your room or something, you know, and they just don't listen and just, you know, roll their eyes or just do something else, get distracted. And my wife comes along, you know, and she just rebukes them. It's like, hey, didn't you hear what Dad said?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, okay, so go, you know. And that really makes me feel respected because she really reinforces what I said to my kids.
Good for you.
And we're on the same page, and that really makes a difference.
Well, I tell you, I've seen over the years so much destructiveness that goes on in a family when mom and dad aren't on the same page, and dad is, you know, saying something and mom is countering that or vice versa. You talk about dissension, it creates just terrible problems within a family. And by the way, if your wife doesn't agree with you, and I'm sure she doesn't from time to time, does she talk to you behind closed doors, Sam, about those times?
It's gotten to a point where we can do that now. It's like when, yeah, you know, when they go out, go away from our presence, and then she tells me, you know, hey, you kind of went too much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you kind of were too strong with that, you know. So I'm not saying it's wrong, she said. It's just I think it was a little too harsh, yeah, or, you know, something like that. But not in front of the kids. So it took a while. I mean, believe me, it took a while to get to this point.
Well, I think.
And another thing. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I'm driving. When the kids answer back, you know, it sounds like I have terrible kids, but it's not. They're kids, so they answer back or something, and she'll tell them, "Hey, mm-hmm, that was disrespectful, you know. Ask for forgiveness for you, you know. That was not right, you know." And they come and say, "Sorry, Dad," you know. So that I feel very respected when she does that.
And that's what it's about. Standing on the same page. You know, two are better than one. There's a biblical verse that says that, Ecclesiastes 4. Two are better than one when they stand together because they have a good return for their work. And you guys, that's a word to wives today. Listen, every man listening will echo what Sam just said. When you have something to say to your husband that's counter to the way maybe he's parenting or handling things in the home that you don't agree with, please go do it behind closed doors. Talk about it somewhere else. Don't do it in front of the kids. But boy, standing together with your kids is a huge form of respect.
Hi, Randy. This is Irma. I live an intentional life by respecting my husband more, and that's something I really want to work on is my marriage and with my children also. To love them more, be there for my husband more as he works in the ministry, and I want to be more loving towards him, just being grateful for who he is. Thank you. God bless, Randy. Bye.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Nice to hear from everybody today. We're talking about love and respect, kind of the pivot point in marriage. You can pivot around, have a lot of things going on in your life, but when you move that pivot foot, you get in trouble. And that pivot foot needs to be firmly planted in love and respect, and it's both ways. I mean, women want to be respected as well as loved, and guys want to be loved as well as respected, but we know the scripture commands, husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church, and wives to respect and reverence your husbands. And God's wired us that way. As men, respect is a big deal. Women, love is a big deal. When do you feel most loved or most respected in your marriage? 888-888-1717. All right. Doug is next from Michigan. Hey, Doug.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. When do you feel most respected, Doug?
Well, For me and my marriage, I think I feel most respected when my wife includes me in the stuff that's going on in her life. She's, you know, very sensitive and has tendencies to just kind of hold stuff to herself. And, you know, more often than not, she's thinking about me. She didn't want to add to my plate, stress me out, or any of that. And so she'll try to deal with things. And over the years, you know, we have developed a strategy where she understands that I want to be included. I want to, you know, at least give her somebody to bounce stuff off of and to listen to her and to, you know, give her my input, help her if she needs it, and I feel very respected when she does that.
Mm. Does she do it often, or is it occasional?
She she does it often now.
Good.
You know, it's one of the things that's been a work in progress in our marriage. And you know, to be honest, when we first met 25 years ago, I wasn't saved, and I was, you know, had anger issues. And, you know, so she would suppress things just, you know, as a defense mechanism because she didn't want to, you know, push my button, so to speak. And so, you know, over the past, let's say, 12 or 15 years, a lot has changed. And so, you know, we're a work in progress, but we're every day we're getting more and more on the same page. And you know, so part of it is trust, too. You know, she has, over the past dozen years or so, built on trusting that she can communicate and not, you know, get the bad responses that she used to get.
Absolutely.
25 years ago.
Good reminder. I mean, if we're going to have love and respect, we have to have trust within the marriage. Otherwise, we tend to close up, and in the process, love and respect gets hidden at best, and then we get passive and aggressive at worst. Okay, Doug, appreciate your call today, my friend. All right, thank you, Doug, from Michigan today. You know, love and respect is a biblical command, not a suggestion. It's a part of the foundation of a marriage that will honor God and a marriage that can survive and experience peace and freedom over time. And what we've had two callers now in a row said, we didn't start this way. We had to work on it. So if you're wrestling with it, understand this is a process. So don't grade yourself against someone who's already got a B+, because, you know, they were doing D work a few years ago. And it's a process. You keep working at it. It's a decision you make and say, in the process, we're going to work on what is holding us back from experiencing the best that God has for us. That is love and respect. That's intentional living. And that's a one thing challenge for you. One thing to say, hey, if we got a D right now, how can we become a C student in our marriage? You can do it, but you've got to make a decision to say love and respect are a couple of the classes that we have to work on, because in the process of excelling in these two areas, your marriage is going to get stronger. In my book, Starve for Affection, I talk about the power of active respect in marriage. I am Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Active respect in marriage is the opposite of disrespect in marriage. The fact is, active respect is powerful. It's freeing and effective. The Bible talks about wives respecting your husbands, and women often tell me that's hard for me to do. That's why I refer to active respect, saying I respect you so much that I'm willing to hold you accountable. Two things about active respect. Number one, be clear with your expectations. For instance, you know, I expect that we're going to have a budget, or I expect that we're going to be faithful to one another in our marriage. And then be clear on why that's important to you, because I don't want to reach retirement and be broke, for example. And when you set these expectations and follow through, that's intentional living.
For more information and inspiration, go to theintentionallife.com.
I don't think I was really wired at the beginning to do what I'm doing today. I grew up, my childhood memories are really filled with wanting to measure up, not feeling like I'm measuring up.
Yes.
And yet we do what we do sometimes. We're on the platform, and there's where Satan will get us with discouragement.
Yes.
And I bet you, like me, have walked off the platform and said, I blew it. That wasn't good.
Just decimated.
That was awful.
That's right. Absolutely.
You right?
So often. And in two different sets of experience. Like, I've had that night and be like, that was it. I'm sure now I'm found out. They know I'm a charlatan, you know, or whatever, yeah. You know. But then hear stories later of how Jesus used that time in somebody's life and going like, what in the world? And then another night when I really felt like I had it together. I felt like it was the best we ever sang. The set was laid out. We shared something we felt like was super profound or something. And then crickets, you know what I mean? Nothing, man. In as far as a testimony goes, you know, this is what I love about the gospel, man. We have to realize our deficit, man. We have to realize our need. When Jesus said the Beatitudes, when he shared the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are, and he fills in the blank with people we would not fill in the blank with. It was basically all people who could recognize their need for a Savior, right? When we realize our need for Him, we can see, hey, I need a Savior. And He's like, here I am. Here I am. You couldn't do it, so I did. That's the gospel on our behalf, right?
Amen. You know, that's Big Daddy Weave, and you hear his music. Mike Weaver is going to be with us, he and his wife Candace and their children. And Mike and Candace, in fact, I've asked them to take one of the sessions and just share his story. He's got quite a story. Sing and share, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's something that they're going to be doing together. And then, secondly, he's going to be leading us in worship during the week, which means that when we're together, he'll be singing, sharing. I've asked him to put on a concert for us during the week. I'm really looking forward to some of the things I'm going to be sharing with you in our sessions when we're together at sea. By the way, this isn't a cruise where it's just going to be going session to session to session. This is a cruise where we're going to have time when we're at sea, not doing something else, just to come together in a room by ourselves as an intentional living group and just get a chance to worship. I get to teach some. I'm going to be talking about intentional living. In fact, he mentioned childhood memories. I'm going to be teaching from my best-selling, Kevin Lehman, in my best-selling book on childhood memories called Unlocking the Secrets of Your Childhood Memories. It's quite a message, and I'll be sharing that at one of the sessions. So we're going to have just a great time. We're going to enjoy each other. And if you don't have your cabin, get it today, June 12th through 19th, June 12th through 19th. Singles are coming, married couples, young and old. Be a part of it. Check it out. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Intentional Living Center focusing on love and respect in marriage. And the ladies have shown up. They want to comment on this. Julie is next on the line. Welcome to Intentional Living Center today, Julie.
Hi.
How you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing good.
Good. When do you feel most loved by your husband, Julie?
Well, you know, Dr. Randy, brings to mind that my husband never throws back anything in my face. So I feel most loved when I remember that. When he forgives, he just forgives like you're supposed to, and he never brings it back up again.
Mm. That feels good, doesn't it? Because so often unforgiveness gets in and that bitterness gets going. It creates a problem.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's not good to keep that. And he doesn't do that, so I feel most loved when I remember that he doesn't do that.
Well, good. That's fantastic. Thank you for the call, Julie.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Let's go to Pauline in New Mexico. Pauline, welcome.
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Doing well. When do you feel most loved in your marriage, Pauline?
There's so many different ways that my husband makes me feel loved, but...
Are you still there, Pauline?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Through the tears, huh?
Yeah.
That's all right.
You know, sometimes when you just feel, like I said, broke down or, you know, the ways of the world have kind of just weighed on you. And you pray and pray and, you know, you just ask God to release it and take it from you. Mm. You know, my husband's always there.
Mm. How is he there for you? What is it? Is it words or what?
If it's just, you know, words of encouragement, just to remind me of the type of person that I am, you know, to remind me that, you know, I can't let the frustrations, like I said, of the world break me down. Our children are all grown. And when I just feel like my advice for my children aren't, for our children aren't getting through, he reminds me of the type of mother that I am.
Hmm. Well, pretty special for you is that I can hear it through your tears. Those are good tears, I guess, huh?
Yes, they are.
How long have you been?
I have an amazing husband.
How long have you been married, Pauline?
We have a special relationship. We've been married for 10 years. When I met him, I had 4 children.
Mm.
And my children were very small. And, of course, I was worried about our relationship. You know, I didn't want him to think I was looking for a dad, but I was looking for a dad. You know, they all have the same daddy. But nevertheless, God has truly blessed us with him. He has been a part of our lives for 18 years.
Mm.
My oldest is 25. And he just took the ball and went with it. And, you know, he has been everything and more than a dad, than a husband that I could have ever asked for. So he is truly a blessing from God.
Great story. Great reminder. Thank you, Pauline. Appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Yes, we plan to. You know, when we think about what we've heard here today on love and respect, it's a reminder that it's been very simple things that have shown up on the phone calls today, and simple things that are showing up on the Facebook as well, like Rachel, who says, you know, my husband, he lays hands on me in a positive way in terms of praying for me because I'm stressed out or when I got a big paper that I have to get done for school or whatever, or just because, she said, just because. You know, it hasn't been, we haven't heard about, you know, bank accounts and big trips and spending lots of money. In fact, there's been none of that. What we hear with love and respect are words of encouragement, being there for your spouse, standing alongside of them, being a team. You know, it doesn't take much. I'm convinced it doesn't take an awful lot to have a good marriage. It's the little things. It doesn't take a lot of money, or take any money at all. It doesn't take, you know, going to the university and having a degree in marriage and family counseling to have a good marriage. You don't have to read 50 books to have a good marriage. Love and respect comes down to the little things that we continue to do. It's the little things over an extended period of time that add up that make the biggest difference in a marriage. So, ladies, when you show respect to your husband through words of encouragement, allowing him into your life, not criticizing him in front of your friends or in front of your children, going behind closed doors when you have a disagreement, supporting him, openly being proud of him. These little things make a big difference. And guys, we show love to our wives when we step up and support her in the things that she's trying to do and accomplishing things and helping her fulfill the things in her life that are important to her. You know, the things that are very love-focused, action-focused, patience and kindness and long-suffering, those things are the simple things. It's the simple things over an extended period of time that build the foundation that make a marriage work long-term. And you can do it. So my challenge to you for the next 30 days is this. What one thing could you do that would make your husband feel most loved by you? Guys, what one thing in the next 30 days would help your wife feel most loved by you? And then do it. We have a list of the top 10 on love and respect on our intentionals. You can read them. I challenge you to pick one for the next 30 days and work on it for you. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. The only way to put things back into order is to add energy. The physicists say if you want to put that sandcastle back together, what do? You got to use physical energy to rebuild that sandcastle. That's the only way to do it. If we don't put investment, guys, and those of us who are married and ladies, if we're not constantly investing into our marriage, our marriages are going to fall into disorder. And this is was an excerpt, really, from the teaching this month on intentional living can save your life, where we talk about there's a law that teaches that in life, in the universe, and just in all the systems of the world, things tend to move from order to disorder. You see it, as I mentioned, with the sandcastle on the beach, and you can see it in your kid's bedroom too, can't you? Things move from order to disorder. What does that mean for our lives? What it means is the only way to put some order back into our marriages sometimes, into our health, into our relationships, is to put some energy. And I talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, we talk about taking energy to do things to change our relationship. So members, watch for the lesson coming your way. And by the way, all new members, those of you who've been joining us during this gathering month of April, thank you. You're receiving the teaching as well, coming to you by email, both audio and video. I hope you enjoy it. Share it with others. We're teaching and sharing because we believe in this message. And then also for every new Intentional Living member who's joining us, we're sending the Intentional Word Chronological Bible, the entire 66 books of the Bible, our gift. You're going to enjoy it. It's life-changing. It's unique. It's a study Bible that you can use on a regular basis. It's our gift to you as you join monthly. Just go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Don't miss out on this, the Intentional Word Chronological Bible, for those joining us in monthly support, $15 a month or more. But can I challenge you for $1 a day, $30 a month to help us with intentional living?
Hi, my name is Kathleen. How my husband shows me love is every morning, he consistently is the leader in the Word. He makes sure we're going through the Bible. He even fixes me coffee. We end our session with prayer and a big old hug and kiss. And he leaves for work. And it really makes our day.
He was the cutest when he was studying the Bible, when he was sitting there concentrating and focusing on that Bible and doing his little Bible study. He was so cute. That's when I wanted to come up and just hug on him and love on him, when he was actually studying that Bible. That's when he was the nicest, and that's when he treated me the best.
When I feel hooked up by my husband is when we share the Word, when we can sit down together and we can discuss what is in the reading, and then I know that God is in the middle of our relationship.
Great way to wrap up a program on the topic of love and respect, spending time together around things that matter most in your marriage. Which is a reminder, again, as we wrap up, some of you have been thinking, what was that about new members, those joining Intentional Living? Well, I'll talk about the Bible with the Intentional Word Chronological Bible is our gift. Go to theintentionallife.com as you join us in monthly support. I mentioned Kevin Lehman a little bit earlier. Dr. Kevin Lehman will join me again tomorrow as we talk on Raising Teens Part 2. I hope you come and join us here at the Intentional Living Center, and we'll see you then.